stand one more time and give Rahab Bonnke a great welcome to Australia, a great welcome to the Hillsong Conference as he comes to share the Word of God tonight. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah! This is a foretaste of heaven. What do you say? It is a foretaste of heaven! Oh, when I see what I just saw, I want to go back to Africa. I tell you, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. But I know that Australia's Day is just about to start. This will grow into dimensions you have never thought about. I'm an old man, and the Bible says, old man shall dream dreams. And I tell all those who are old with me, come on, old man, after we dream, let's wake up and put those dreams into practice. Dreams are not fulfilled if you keep on dreaming. I want to keep moving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You saw just in this clip how I had a chain cutter. That man was totally mad. They brought him in chains, as they often do in Africa. And I was able to cut those chains. And that man was totally, totally right in his head. I tell you, Jesus is awesome. He's wonderful and glorious. Let me start off with that. I want to tell you what happened. Something that deeply touched my heart. I was in the Republic of Congo, DCR, and had a crusade in one of the cities. My team had been working around in some of the prisons, and they said to me, Reinhard, over there is a prison. You must go there and have a look. You've never seen anything like it in your whole life. I went. I thought I was sitting in a time machine backwards. It was something like medieval practices. They were the men condemned to death. 50, 60, 70. Thick chains had been welded to their wrists and to their ankles. Chains so thick, no elephant could have broken them. Not with shackles, right to the flesh. And when I arrived, they already had started to sing. And one of those condemned to death with those chains was leading the singing. And they were all shaking their chains in the rhythm. They sung, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I sat at the back when suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said to me, tell the song leader he's going to be released and he's going to preach the gospel as an evangelist. I said, Lord, are you sure? He said, I'm very sure. I said, okay, that helps me a lot. I took an interpreter. I went to the song leader. I said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Richard." I said, "Richard, thus says the Lord, you will be released and you will preach the gospel." Richard's mouth dropped. He said to me, "What?" He said, "Once a month, the hangman comes from the capital, Kinshasa." He said, "Can you see that tree over there outside the prison?" "Yes, I saw the tree." He said, "When the hangman comes, we are all lined up at that tree. The hangman throws a rope over one of the branches, puts the noose around number one, and pulls him up." He said, "I stood three times in that row, and every time my turn came to be hung, the hangman said, 'I'm tired today. I come back next month.' He said he's due to return next week. Are you sure?" I said, "This is not my word. Thus says the Lord." I prayed. I said, "Lord, what can I do for Richard?" The Lord spoke to me, "Go and see the governor." I went to the governor. He was not there, only his wife. I said, "Madam, I've come to speak on behalf of Richard so and so." I said, "God spoke to me. He must be released because he will preach the gospel. I'm asking you to release him." She said to me, "If you pay for the education of our children in the United States of America, we might consider it." I said, "Madam, I'm a missionary. I have no money." I left that house thinking I had soured it all up. I said, "Lord, what now?" But your word is above everybody's word. When I was back in Frankfurt, Germany, my phone rang. 2 months later or so, Richard has been released. Isn't that fantastic? Richard has been released. I said, "Now I'm going to pay for his education. He's going to Bible school." He went to Bible school in Nairobi, Kenya for 4 years. Not so long ago, I had another crusade in Kinshasa, in the Congo. When I came down from the platform, I just had preached to about 300,000 people. I think 350,000. When I came, wanted to go off the platform, my crusade director came and said, "Reinhard, I have a surprise for you." When I came down, I saw a man in a smart suit, a fat Bible under his arm, came running towards me. I recognized him. It was Richard. He fell down at my feet. He grabbed my feet and wept. I pulled him up. We hugged each other. We wept together. And I said, "Lord, you truly have come to set the captives free." And I believe something is going to happen here tonight. I prophesy right now, chains will be broken. Every chain will be broken. Not just that you will be set free, but you will be released into a ministry that spawns life eternal in the name of Jesus. This story is one of the stories in my book called Even Greater, and the rest are as interesting as this one. I tell you, if you read that book, it will knock you off your sofa. It's called Even Greater. My heart is burning within me. My heart is burning within me. Didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us? You know, that's the effect the word of God has upon people. Because our God is a consuming fire. And all Bible doctrine has to conform to the character of God. And if that is true, I tell you, the Bible says that he is fire. So an icicle can never represent the God of fire. We've got to be fiery. He is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and fire. I like that. It's not too hot for me. I enjoy the heat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've got two parts here tonight. I still want to share my heart with you with regard to the Great Commission and the preaching of the gospel. And then I have another gospel part, okay? I'm an evangelist and I actually love to do that best. If you want an evangelist to fail, you must force him to preach to those who are already saved. Amen. I always love a bunch of sinners in front of me. What shall I say? Then you will see what Jesus can do. Oh, hallelujah. Some people think the gospel is just a life belt. I say to you, the gospel is not only a life belt, it is life. It is a life belt and it is life. It is life eternal. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is power and powerful. We have been called to preach the good news. Say amen. Amen. The gospel is called news. In my country, in Germany, after a meeting, a high school boy intercepted me. And he said to me, "Sir, how can you call the Bible news?" He said, "News is what I see at 12 o'clock on television. That's news." He said, "How can you call this good news? You should call it good history." Well, I tell you, he in one way was right. It is good history, but it is also good news. And I will tell you why. When the gospel is preached, the gospel happens. When the gospel is preached, the gospel happens. All of a sudden, chains are cut. All of a sudden, the sick are healed. All of a sudden, problems are solved. Sins are forgiven. Marriages come together again. Broken things are recreated. And when that happens, It is news. And people jump up and say, it happened to me. When? Now. It is the most update news. Gospel is good news because it happens when we preach it. Hallelujah. And this scripture is in line with this truth. It happens. It happens. It happens. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 16. Here we have Moses with a final blessing on Israel. And tribe after tribe, he pronounces blessings upon them. Wonderful blessings. And on Joseph, he said this, verse 16, Deuteronomy 33, 16. With the precious things of the earth and its fullness and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come on the head of Joseph and on the crown of his head of him who was separate from his brothers. What strikes me here is that he speaks of the goodwill of him who dwelt in the burning bush. Bushes often burned in those days. When lightning struck, a bush burned. And there was all of a sudden a bush burning, but that burning bush got the attention of Moses because it burned and burned and burned and burned and kept on burning. And Moses thought, wow, that bush is still burning. I saw it burn half an hour ago. It is still burning. That attracted him. And as he approached it, he met the God of goodwill. Good news. The good gospel. Right there. Hallelujah. And later on he referred to him. He referred to the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Now listen to me. That favor was towards Israel. That favor was not towards Egypt. It was God's favor for Israel, not for Egypt. And the question came to me, did God hate Egypt when he blessed Israel? The answer for sure is no. A million times no. God did not hate Egypt. He hates no nation. He created them all. So why favor for Israel and why no favor for Egypt? I will tell you why. Egypt came under the strokes of God because Egypt held something that belonged to God and was not willing to release it. And God said, I have come down to deliver my people. God was on a war path to set his people free. And he was unstoppable. Egypt was the world power of its day. But God didn't care. They held something that belonged to him. And he said to Moses, Moses, go and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. Because my people property. Say amen. Hallelujah. And something else struck me. God did not say to Moses, Moses, go to Egypt and organize the secret departure of my people. He did not say, Moses, I want you to smuggle them out of Egypt in groups of five by fog and night. Moses was not instructed to smuggle the children of Israel out as we used to smuggle Bibles into the Soviet Union. God had a different plan. And I feel in my spirit, that's why I say it, something fantastic and something similar is going to happen on all continents of the world. Please hear me. God made Israel go, all of Israel, in broad daylight, right under the royal nose of King Pharaoh. It's the only time in history that a great nation on earth lost its entire workforce in a single day. God had decided not to do it bit by bit. He is the God of ostentatiousness. He is the God of the grand style. Satan has to release that what belongs to God. Hallelujah. The gospel is the most righteous claim on earth. If I buy myself 10 bananas and I pay for the bananas are mine because I paid for them. And Jesus paid for every soul in Australia, for every soul in Indonesia, in China, in India, in Germany, in America, with his own precious blood. Therefore, the preaching of the gospel is the most righteous thing, and we will not be silent and will never be silenced to say, let my people go. Thus says the Lord, let my people go. The Great Commission will finally be fulfilled. You ask how I know it? I'll tell you. Because Calvary does not fail. Say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. God said, Israel, I have loved. You read that right through the Old Testament. When you open the New Testament, a new word appears. A new word. The word world. All of a sudden, the world is in focus. Not just Israel, the world. For God so loved the world. Wow, that is a new sound. The world. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. The God of the temple has become the God of the whole world. And this God, our blessed Lord Jesus, said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to be faithful to it. In Jesus' name, say amen. Then the day of Pentecost came. I have already spoken about it, but I must share with you a couple of things I have not yet mentioned, and they are so precious to me and so dear to me, I cannot omit them. There appeared to them divided time. tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I like that little term, tongues of fire. Imagine a tongue of fire settling on your head, and that tongue of fire connected with a tongue of flesh, and they began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. That tongue of fire made that possible. That tongue of fire and the tongue of flesh, heaven unites with earth. The Spirit falling on all flesh. And fleshly tongues are used to preach and speak the word of God with awesome power. Hallelujah. The gospel is power. It is power. I spoke with some people of different religions, and they said to me, who has invented the gospel? I said, the gospel is like water. Nobody has invented it, and nobody can live without it. Hallelujah! It has been invented in heaven. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God it span at Calvary. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That connection needs to be made. The tongue of fire with your tongue of flesh. That connection must be made. The supernatural connects with the natural. Heaven connects with earth. A tongue of fire is evident. Hallelujah. You know what I have witnessed in Nigeria? How 1 million people received the baptism into the Holy Spirit within 3 minutes. 3 minutes. What God can do, what God can do. He is so limitless. On the day of Pentecost, the crowd heard the 120. The 120 speak in new tongues. Today, we watch the crowd speaking in tongues. My spirit on all flesh. How wonderful. How wonderful. Glory to God. Now, wherever I travel in the world, I say it emphatically. People come to me and say, Reinhard, please lay your hand upon me. I want your anointing. Shall I tell you what I tell them? I say to them, are you crazy? Do you think I give you my anointing and then go home without? I love you very much, but not that much. The truth is, I tell you before God, I've studied the Bible from cover to cover. And the truth is, I cannot even give you my anointing, even if I wanted to. This is very important. This realization has changed my whole thinking and has brought me back, I believe, to the very roots of the New Testament. If you got Bonke's anointing, you would become a copy of Bonke. I don't want my fullness from the fullness of another man or another woman, because if I did, I would get a second-hand fullness. Since when is God working with copies? Tell me. I tell you, God has no photocopying machine made in Japan. And I will tell you why. He is not a duplicator, he is a creator. If you want to know anything about the nature of God, just look into nature. And you will see that two leaves on a tree haven't got the exact same structure. There are 6.2 billion people in this world, and they are not two of the same fingerprints. Now, if God is even so original when it comes to the perishable parts of our bodies, do you really think he's starting to copy now? Just because he ran out of ideas? No. No. 10,000 times no. Nobody here should be, shall be a copy of another Christian. In the kingdom of God, we are never copies from copies from copies from copies from copies. We are all originals from the original Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! This is important. This is very, very important to know. As I say, it has changed my whole outlook. And I read the Bible with new eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Now, on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 people in the upper room. And exactly 120 flames came from heaven. And that makes me think that somebody in heaven must have counted the heads. And I tell you even more. If you got Bonke's anointing, my anointing would make you dead unhappy because it doesn't fit your personality. I have a different personality. The flame that comes from heaven, I believe every flame descending from heaven is tailor-made for every individual. I make it still clearer. I say to you, your flame bears your name and nobody else's. And when the fire falls, there will be no mix-up. The Holy Spirit will make sure. And you have an anointing that is so unique, that is totally different from any other anointing. It may be as similar as my fingerprint with yours, but under the microscope, we will see the difference. And God, who is the creator of all things, oh hallelujah, he will give you a unique anointing. That flame bears your name and it gives you, empowers you in a way that you can serve God like nobody else. Say amen. Come on. Isn't that fantastic? Oh, hallelujah. In Africa, I was preaching in a city, I won't tell you where. A young man, fine young preacher, came to me. He said, would you allow me to pay for your hotel? I said, what? I said, that's a lot of money. You want to pay for my hotel? I'd never had that offer before. Yes, he said, I beg you, I want to pay for your hotel. So I said, tell me why. He said, I've made arrangements with the hotel management. When you leave your room, I told them not to change your bed sheets. I'm going to sleep in your bed because I want to get your anointing. Anointing from dirty linens. Is the anointing so cheap? Tell me, what is the anointing for? Who teaches such rubbish? God has an original for you. No man can give it, because only He is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. Out of His fullness we have all received. He is the fullness that fills all in all. The Bible is full of it. And I believe it. And I tell you, the flame that you have received or you're going to receive is so powerful, so unique, so glorious. It will fit your personality, as I said. And you will see the Red Sea open right in front of you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Allow me to say one more thing. I hope you will not be cross with me. Listen, I think it's a trap of the devil if Christians go from convention to convention to get a new anointing. If you need a new anointing, please tell me what happened to the old one. I was asked in America to preach at a convention on the theme of fresh fire. I couldn't find anything in the Bible on it. And I stood up, I said, I have been asked to preach on fresh fire. Please tell me, have you ever heard about stale fire? That flame descending on your head is for keeps. It is given to you forever. He shall abide with you forever. How long is forever? Forever is forever. If that is true, don't waste your time looking for new anointings. Make the old one to work, and it will work. Hallelujah! I think when people say, oh, I need a new anointing, it's because they don't feel the anointing. We have power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, but we don't always have a feeling of power. Let me give you an illustration. I'm impressed with Australia's sports people. What is the name of the best swimmer? Oh, I think I read Torpedo. Is that so? Imagine Ian Torpedo comes to visit you at your house. You offer him a cup of coffee and a cookie. Or do you say biscuits? And there sits Ian in that easy chair drinking coffee. I want to ask you, do you think he feels his power when he sips coffee? No. No. You can't even see what's inside of him when he eats his biscuit. Fire the starting pistol at the Olympic swimming pool. and you will see that man. I say to every Christian who has already received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, as long as you sit in your chair in church, you will never feel the power. Power is not by feeling, but by experiment. Do something and the God's resources will flow towards you. In my name, he said, you shall cast out devils. Oh, I like that. You shall heal the sick. I charge you all, don't waste your time to run from anointing to anointing. The anointing that you have received abides with you forever. That is what the Bible says. And that we must act upon. I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit when I was only 11 years of age. But it was stirring my heart. Stirring my heart. Stirring my heart. And then I said to the young people in the church, let's go for an open air meeting. They said, no, no. Oh, I couldn't stop myself. I went for a one-man open-air meeting. I think I should say for a one-boy open-air meeting. I took my guitar. I stood at the street corner. In those days, I had a nice singing voice. And I began to sing. And the people came looking. And I heard them say, what a nice boy. I didn't like that. Nice boy. I had this on my head. Ho, 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 ho. That's why the devil underestimates us. We are dynamite in small packages. Hallelujah. When enough people were around me, I stopped. I couldn't preach, so I just spoke. I just chatted. And one man got saved. I ran home as fast as my legs could carry me to my father, who was the pastor of the church. And I said to him, Papa, it works! It works! It works! All of you will shout, it works. If you get up and do something. I said it before and I repeat it here. Jesus will lift you out of your deepest pit. But he does not lift you out of an easy chair. You've got to rise yourself. You've got to do what Isaiah did. Throw up his arms and cry from earth to heaven. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And he will take you and make you and send you. And you will shout, it works. When I had the privilege to lead more than 1 million souls to Jesus in a single service, I said afterwards, it still works. It still works. It still works. It still works. Forever. Forever. Say forever. Forever. Amen. Hey. I'm getting happy here. Amen. If you don't enjoy my preaching, I do. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that everybody may explode. I tell you one more thing. When they received the flame on their head in Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching. What do you think the 119 did who stood behind him? Do you think they stood behind him twiddling thumbs saying, "Amen, brother. Amen, brother." Oh, no. No. I tell you what they did. Peter preached and they were here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That may not be the usual thing, but remember, 3,000 people got saved and baptized that same day. If we want the original results, we've got to preach the original message. Hallelujah! Let me tell you one more thing and then I go to my second part. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you the truth. I don't like to go from convention to convention to convention and always meet the same people. And every time they want a new anointing, this is to me so frustrating, I can't stand it. How many anointings do you want? Let me give you a biblical illustration. Okay? For fun, let me go to the Old Testament. I'm thinking of King David before he was king. When David was confronted with Goliath, first of all, let us agree that David was anointed by the prophet of Samuel. Say amen. He was the anointed of the Lord. Okay. Now, when David was confronted with Goliath, that mountain of a man, a moving tank. What did he do? He was next to his brother Eliab, who was a captain in the army. He was a professional soldier. Eliab, his brother, was the unanointed professional. And David was the anointed unprofessional. And when Eliab saw Goliath, all that he had learned at the military academy went through his mind. And he formed the mental picture, put himself next to Goliath. He saw Goliath as a giant and himself as a dwarf. The anointed reacted totally opposite. When the anointed of the Lord saw that formidable warrior of the Philistines, he mentally put the God of Israel next to Goliath, and he saw Goliath as a dwarf. Eliab said, "If I challenge him, he'll eat me for breakfast." David said, "Thank God, he is so big, my stones can't miss him." Now, something else. Please listen. I'm asking you, what did David not do when he saw Goliath? I'll tell you what he did not do. David did not turn on his heels, running back to Samuel the prophet, kneeling at his feet, saying, "Samuel, do you have a new anointing for me?" Did he do that, yes or no? He also didn't say, "Samuel, do you have something like a Goliath anointing?" He didn't do it because somehow young David knew before his time that it didn't matter when he was anointed. his anointing was not wearing off. It was the same from year to year to year. Hallelujah. I say to you, the anointing that you have received of him abides forever. If you take that home, you will be someone who gets into action. Before I close this section, one more thing. Will you give me 2 more minutes? Okay. Cheers. Listen. I was preaching in Nairobi in Kenya. I know here some wonderful Kenyans. Some of them I met already. Bwana asifiwe sana. Amen. I was in the middle of Nairobi's Uhuru Park. 200,000 people at that time were listening that afternoon. In that big crowd sat a little woman with a broken heart. She had just gone through a terrible divorce. Her family dropped her. She was in a terrible shape. And there she sat listening to my preaching. And she said, told me later, she prayed there, "Lord, you give to Reinhardt hundreds of thousands. I'm asking you, give me just 100 souls. The crusade passed. Years passed. That little woman said, "Where has Bonke got the next fire conference? I want to attend his fire conference. I want the fire." Somebody brought her a magazine saying, "Bonke is in Oslo, in Norway, for a fire conference." She went to the bank. She took a credit. You know, fly now, pay later. And she arrived in Oslo. Indeed, I was in Oslo, but not for a fire conference. I had a crusade meeting for sinners. And when I made my first altar call, that lady from Kenya was the first to jump up and run forward, shaking like a leaf in the wind. I remember her so clearly because in Norway, you can hardly overlook an African lady. And there she stood. I walked down the steps. I tapped her shoulder. I said to her, "What do you want?" "The fire. I've come for the fire." "Oh," I said, "thank God, this is a quick job." I laid my hand on her. I said, "In the name of Jesus, receive the fire." Now, I know many people, when they receive such a touch, they love to fall backwards, especially if there's someone to catch them. But she said, all of a sudden, powerful hands lifted her from behind. She was carried through the air 25 or 30 yards and dropped on the ground. I watched it. I took another look. And I thought I had seen her for the last time. What a mistake. What a mistake. That woman went home to Nairobi and she said, "Next Friday I start my ministry." She invited the women in the neighborhood. The first Friday, 17 women came. 1-7. I started even smaller. The next Friday, 55 women came. The next Friday, 125 women came. 400, 600 women came. She was looking for halls, 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 halls. She went to Nairobi City Hall that seats 2,000, 4,000 women came. She rented the Jomo Kenyatta Convention Center, sitting 5,000 people, 12,000 people came. She went to the city council and she said, "Give me Uhuru Park where Bonke preached." They said to her, "Every first Sunday of the month, you have permission to use Uhuru Park." I was there when she didn't know I was there. Once I passed through, I was in the hotel, I was overlooking the whole of Uhuru Park, and I tell you, before God, there were more than 200,000 people that had come to listen to that little woman. That's what one flame can do. That is what one flame can do. I want to be honest with you. In a way, I'm ashamed of it. In another way, I'm not ashamed of it. I argued with the Lord. I said, "Lord, please forgive me. I don't understand. Why did you have to pick a divorced woman?" I said, "Lord, we have got such fine young men at co-op Bible schools, and such fine young women at our Bible schools. Why did you pass them by? And why did you pick a divorced woman?" The Lord spoke to me. It has changed me forever. He said to me, "I did it to prove that I can turn a broken vessel into a vessel of great honor." And I say to anyone, if you have been crushed by the devil, God isn't finished with you. That flame will enable you to go and go and go and do something for God and start something instead of just sitting and enjoying your certificates on the wall that you are the best swimmer in the world. Oh, I'm after souls. I don't want to be a dollar millionaire. That has never been my ambition. I want to be a souls millionaire. Now, I'm now leaving the 99. I'm coming to the one lost sheep. Revelation 3 verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," Jesus said, I will. Not if. He says, "I will." The great "I will" come in. "And we'll eat with him, and he with me." This is a powerful, powerful scripture and a glorious and matchless truth. Hallelujah. Evangelists use the scripture all over. And anyone who hears that call, that knocking of Jesus, and opens, will experience something fantastic. Jesus will walk in. Jesus lives in my heart. He lives in my heart. Do you know what I say? I am his residential address on earth. And you are his residential address on earth if you have received Jesus. Say amen. Amen. I'll never forget. Let me quickly push this in. In Africa, We always had our own musical instruments in our meetings on the platform. We had an electric organ there, keyboard, and that thing gave up its ghost. We fixed it, it broke, we fixed it, it broke, we fixed it, it broke again. And then I said to my music minister, this thing is on its way to eternity. We better go and buy a new one. In those days, I still involved myself in those things. We went to a music shop, the biggest music shop in the city. It was noon. There was a salesman standing at the door, crossed legs, puffing away a cigarette, watching a passing woman. I was not interested in the salesman, I was interested in the keyboards. So I walked into that music shop. We tried out the keyboards. And when I was right at the back of the music shop, suddenly that salesman stood in front of me, but this time in a different composure. Eyes that big, shaking like a leaf. He said to me, "Sir, I can see Jesus in your eyes." What? What? I think I also began to shake. That man could see Jesus in my eyes. To make a long story short, I had a revival in the music shop. That man got gloriously saved. And as I walked from the shop to the car, I didn't buy a keyboard there. As I walked to the car, I kept saying, "Lord, there's something I will never understand. How is it possible that a total stranger walks up to me and says, I can see Jesus in your eyes?" I said, "Lord, I will never, never, ever understand that." Suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "Reinhard, no problem." He said, "Jesus lives in your heart, and sometimes he likes to look out of the windows." Hallelujah! This is when Jesus resides within us. I never forgot it. What a wonderful truth, isn't it? I met a young man, and I said to him, "Listen, my friend, it's high time for you to get saved." You know what he said to me? I'd never heard such nonsense before. He said to me, "I already got saved 5 times. I got also lost 5 times. And right now, I'm lost again." I said, "Tell me, what do you mean?" He said, "I'll tell you exactly." He said, "The gospel you preach has such high moral standard, I cannot reach it." He said, "And therefore, I've come to the conclusion that the gospel is only for strong people, but not for a man who is as weak as I am." He said, "I get saved and I say I will never again commit adultery." He said, "But the next morning when I leave my home and go to work and I see a beautiful woman," he said, "I become as weak as a baby and I fall again." He said, "The gospel is not for somebody as weak as I am." Wow! When I heard that, I blew a gasket. I said, "Listen, if Jesus was as weak as you are, you wouldn't need Jesus. And if Jesus was as weak as I am, I wouldn't need Jesus. But who says Jesus is weak? This is a lie of the devil!" I said, "Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Right where you are, all power. And if you hear the knocking of Jesus right now, and you open the door, that Almighty Jesus will step in. And when the strong has entered the weak, then the weak shall say, I am strong. That is strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I challenge anyone, there is no reason you need to backslide. Jesus is strong enough to fight every battle. I was thinking of Noah's ark. You know what struck me? The strongest man outside the ark was lost, and the weakest man inside the ark was saved. The most educated outside the ark was lost. The richest was lost. But the most uneducated and the poorest inside the ark were safe. It's not a matter what you are, it's a matter of position. If you change your position by coming to Jesus, then Jesus changes your situation automatically. Do you get that? Oh, hallelujah! Safe in the arms of Jesus. Jesus invites. We invite him and he comes inside. Amen. I pray that anyone here will come to know the total freedom in Jesus Christ. He will wash you from all your sins. He will break every chain and he will release you into a life of ministry and victory and glory. What a mighty God we serve. Say amen. Can I tell you one little story? Hello? Wave your hand if you want me to tell you. Okay. I always like the permission of my congregation. You know, my mind works in pictures. I think that's why I'm an evangelist. And I preach how the Holy Spirit inspires me to preach. But always from the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It's life. And this is my own parable. My own parable. But it's closely from the Word of God. Can I tell you my parable? I sometimes use it in Africa. Can I tell it here in Australia? Then listen. This is how the parable goes. There was a young man who had a double-story house. 5 rooms downstairs, 5 rooms upstairs. A beautiful house. He was so proud of it. And one day there was a knock on the door, a very gentle knock. And when he opened, who was there? Yes, the Lord Jesus was there. The Lord Jesus said, may I come in? The young man said, yes, Lord Jesus, thank you very much for visiting me. I want you to stay with me. I give you the finest room upstairs. It's the biggest, it's the best, it has the best furniture. It's yours. Jesus is a gentleman. He said, thank you. But next morning, there was a terrible knocking on the door. And when the young man opened, who stood outside? The devil. The young man said, no, 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 nothing to do with you. But the devil was already inside. And now the struggle started. The devil poured out filthy temptations on him. He battled and battled and battled. Somehow by night, he got the devil out. He locked the door. He was exhausted. And then he said, wait a minute. Jesus is inside. Why didn't he come to help me? I must go and ask him. He walks upstairs. He says, oh Jesus, didn't you hear my cries of despair? Please tell me why you didn't come to help me. The Lord Jesus said, my son, of the 10 rooms in the house, you occupy 9 and I 1. Oh, said the young man, Lord, I can see my mistake. As of immediately, let's do 50-50. You get all the top floor, I keep the bottom floor. Jesus is a gentleman. He said, merci beaucoup. Next morning, another knocking on the door. Oh, he jumped out of bed. He said, I know it's the devil again. Or maybe it's a neighbor. I will just go and open the door a wee bit and peek through. And if it's the devil, I will quickly shut it. When he opened it a wee bit, who was there? Yes, the devil. And before he could shut it, the devil had a foot already in the door. And the struggle started again. The whole day! Battle after battle. Temptation after temptation. He nearly gave up. Somehow, he got the devil out in the evening. He closed the door. Whew. Wait a minute. Jesus has the total upper floor. Why didn't he come to help me? I must ask him. The Lord Jesus said to him, my son, why don't you give me all 10 rooms and then instead of me staying with you, you stay with me? The young man knelt down, took the key of the house out of his pocket, said, Lord Jesus, I solemnly hand over the whole house to you, and I now stay with you. Now, the best is coming now. Because next morning, before dawn, a terrible hammering outside the door. Oh! The young man jumped out of bed and, oh, it's the devil again. All of a sudden, he heard footsteps inside the house. Oh! I'm no more the owner of the house. I no more have the key to the front door. Jesus has to answer the door. And there came Jesus, marching like a king. The King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords, right to the front door, unlocked it and opened it not a wee bit, but right to the end of the hinges. The young man jumped behind the shoulders of Jesus. He wanted to see what was now to happen. Who was there outside? Yes. It was the devil. And when the devil saw Jesus stand in the door, he bowed very low and said, excuse me, please, I knocked on the wrong door. Come on, shout hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Put Jesus in charge. Let me also say this. Here are some that have given 9 rooms to Jesus. And on the door of room number 10, they have written, strictly private. And inside that room, that's where they hide all their unclean stuff. All the unrighteous thing, the pornography, the drugs, all the stolen money. You may deceive the best of your friends, but God has eyes like flames of fire. All hypocrisy stops here. We are open to Him. And I beg each and every one, give the key of your life to Jesus tonight. He will wash you. He will set you free. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He will put a flame on your head. And He will send you to the ends of the earth in Jesus' name. This moment is that moment. Jesus wants to step in. Are you willing to open? Let's close our eyes in the presence of the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray from the bottom of my heart that everyone here who is still filled with sin may now be set free. Lord, some may look so holy, but they are rotten inside. I pray, O Lord, that you may now do what only you can do. I pray that you may wash every heart and break every chain this very moment and take control 100% in Jesus' name. And while all our eyes are closed and we are in the holy presence of God, I want to ask who's here tonight. You want to say, Lord Jesus, you know all the rottenness inside of me, even if my Christian friends don't know. But I'm asking you, forgive me my sins. Break every chain. Take possession of my whole life. If you want to do that right now, then lift your hand to Jesus. I want to pray with you. Lift your hand. Let Jesus see your hand. Let Jesus see your hand. Just wave your hand. I would like to see it. Wave your hand. I want to acknowledge it. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. You are alone with Jesus. I see, I believe, thousands of hands everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There is great joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. I'm asking everybody to stand, please. I want to pray with those. Just keep your hand up, please. Those of you who wanted Jesus to come in and take control, forgive your sins and break every chain. Just keep your hands up, please. But I want you to repeat this prayer after me, because the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This will happen now as we call upon the name of Jesus, who is the only Savior. Let's pray together. I want everyone to repeat this prayer in support of those who may pray it for the first time, or maybe as backsliders coming home to Jesus. Loud and clear, let's pray. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I have heard your knocking. I respond to your call. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I open the door of my house. Set me free from all iniquity. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Break every chain and curse. I surrender all. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I put my faith alone in you. I believe with my heart. What I speak with my mouth. Jesus is not my Savior. Jesus lives within me. I have given him full control over my whole life. I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. I believe it. I receive it. I confess it. In the name of Jesus, amen. And amen. Amen. Those of you who have lifted your hands, counselors will come and speak to you and make personal contact with you. This is very, very important. And you will get this wonderful CD as a gift called Strength. Pastor Brian explains here what has just happened in your life and how you can grow into a perfect, victorious Christian. In Jesus' name, say amen. No more backsliding. No more backsliding. In Jesus' name. How many of you have received the anointing during this conference? Wave your hand, please. The fire from on high. And if not, wave your hand as well if you want it. If you want it. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you once more. But I want us to pray all in unison. Let's worship Jesus for a moment, shall we? Open your mouths. Let Jesus hear your voices. Raise your voices.
To the ends of the earth, for you and all of the Son of God.
Lord Jesus, I thank you that your fire is falling everywhere, and that no flame will fall on someone for whom it is not meant, and everyone gets their original fire. In the name of Jesus, receive an anointing that shall never fade. Never ever fade. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we dedicate ourselves unto your service. We arise from our easy chairs. We start to go into all the world by going into our neighborhood, by going to relatives, by going to friends. Sydney shall be saved. Lord, I thank you. Australia shall be saved. Every representative of every nation present shall go back like a flame of fire in the mighty name of Jesus. I also rebuke every spirit of infirmity. I speak healing to the incurable. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death. I command it to depart. I speak life to you, and health and peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are with us and that you go with everyone. Help us to move in your name and see your power in action in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Whoa.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Let's thank God for the word tonight and for so many, 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 many people committing to Christ. Amen. Amen.